Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Sans Pants Radio.
Australia's most biased podcast network.
Hey everyone, welcome to Bookish. I'm George Demarelis. This is a show we ask you, what's your story and what does it say about you? Today on the show, we have comedian and podcaster Alex J. How you doing, Alex?
Hello, thank you so much for having me. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like I said Alex then for some reason.
Alex, that's fun. That's like the Eastern European version.
Yeah, it sounds threatening in a weird way. It's pronounced Alex. It's
Alex. And now you'll die. Yeah.
But yes, Alex J, yes. So what's going on? How are you doing?
I'm good. Just plugging along. I'm loving being able to podcast remotely from my own home. This is just lovely.
Is this a new thing for you?
I haven't done a lot of guesting as remote, no, because, I mean, not to brag, but I'm in Sydney, you know, when we have a kind of different situations at the moment.
Oh, yeah, that's bragging. That's definitely bragging.
Yeah, that's bragging. I said I don't mean to, but I meant to.
Oh, you meant to. That was definitely one of those, like, I don't want to say anything, but...
Here I go.
Yeah, it's the exact thing I said I'm not going to say.
Whoops.
I actually probably should have asked you this off recording first, but you just got back from the hospital. What were you doing there? Or like working there?
Oh, I work at a hospital. Yeah, I'm an admin officer in a COVID clinic at a hospital here in Sydney. So that's a lot of fun. That's pretty full on.
Is there a lot going on now for Sydney?
Yeah, we're having some hotspots pop up here and there that people are freaking out about. But like, yeah, I work in a testing clinic. So our numbers are just still like as high as they were like a month or two ago. People are still getting tested pretty regularly, which is good.
Yeah. That is, and the fact that that's a good sign. So so how many times has someone been in there for obviously something completely unrelated and the doctors have said, hey, we'll pay you $10,000 if you call this coronavirus? Mm-hmm. Does that happen a lot? Or you can't say anything, can you?
Look, I can't say yes or no to that, but I will just wink.
Right. We got it, guys. We got it. I knew it.
Yeah. We've got so much money to pay people in the public health system. Yeah.
do you get questions like that when you mention this stuff? I feel like that's something you'd be considered a source now since you're there.
No, I mean, not that. That's conspiracy level questions. I've not had that so much. It's more about like, have you made anyone cry by swabbing them, those kind of questions.
Have you made anyone cry by swabbing them?
Well, unfortunately, because I'm not a nurse or a doctor, I don't get to do the swabbing and I'm very jealous.
Well, you got a bit of a masochistic vibe?
Maybe. I don't know. I just want to have a go.
Sadistic vibe. Sorry.
Pat in the ring.
Masochistic is if you just kept on getting tested, that would be the masochistic.
To myself, yeah.
Have you had a test? Have you gone and gotten tested?
No, I haven't. Have you?
Shouldn't you have to since you're working in the clinic?
Oh, no. So it's very safe. We're in full PPE all day and we don't have any contact all of the patients that come in are like wear masks and hand hygiene and it's very safe. So we're often saying like the clinics are like actually the safest places in Sydney to go because
definitely
you can't catch it.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. And I mean, unrelated, but it's definitely safer than anywhere out west.
I mean, right, true. Yeah.
Parramatta. Yeah. I mean, let's go.
Oh my God, don't get me started. No, I love you guys in Parramatta.
I know, same, I do, of course.
Great, great nightlife there.
Are you, you're from Sydney born and raised?
Pretty much. I'm from the Central Coast, which is like an hour and a half north, but I've been living in Sydney for like most part of the last 10 years kind of thing, so.
Did you go there for comedy or unrelated?
Pretty much, yeah. Like here and there for other jobs, and I've like kind of back and forth to the coast, but I've been down here solidly for 6 years since starting comedy, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's nice. I like it up here. I love Melbourne though. I do miss Melbourne.
Did you used to visit a lot?
Yeah, I lived there for a little bit, like in my early 20s for like a year, and then visiting, and then, you know, the festival and stuff. And we're all meant to come down this year, of course, but it was cancelled.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard about that.
Love my yearly Melbourne trip.
It's even for someone from Melbourne, it is like a trip during a comedy festival because it's so different, like isn't just
yeah,
how...
Yeah, right?
It's so rocking. It's a great vibe.
The city comes alive.
Yeah, yeah.
It's beautiful.
And Melbourne, look... Yes, right now we're a plague-riddled wasteland, but the rest of the year, best city easily.
We don't begrudge you that, yeah.
Best city easily, like as in just in terms of, because like Sydney CBD during the weekend and stuff is a cold and scary place. It's
don't bother.
Yeah, yeah, it's terrifying.
I never go into the city. I'm like, you live in the inner west, so I'm very much like happy to stay in my little inner west bubble.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, no, so that's the difference. Melbourne, at least, it's got like that buzzing sort of thing, you know.
Yeah, Melbourne CBD is, that's where it's at.
Yeah, it's a good vibe.
Yeah.
I like it.
Outside of wasteland times, of course.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Although I'm still waiting for some sort of outbreak in Sydney. It's very upsetting to me you guys haven't had anything. It doesn't make any sense.
We have clusters and hotspots and stuff, but I just guess nothing that anyone's like freaking out about yet.
Look, a part of me does want you guys to have something. I know that's mean, but...
I do too. I'm an empath, so...
Keeps you busy as well, talking. Yeah. You are employed by it too, so I think it's...
That's true. Yeah, I mean... That's the conspiracy. I want to keep my job.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep this going.
You're going to just poke a couple of holes in the PPE next time.
Yeah.
Not your own, just the people you don't like at work. That's the secret.
Yeah, that's fun. The media will love that.
Hey, it'll be great for my podcast. Having you admit it.
Yeah,
this,
true.
It'd be fantastic.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Huge. You'll have like an inquest into your podcast.
That's so good. Okay, so you've picked an interesting book. So I don't know if I should, you know, let's go with the book and then we'll slowly build, because I do want to talk about some of the stuff you have actually done in your own career, but I guess maybe we can jump back and forth. How about we start with the book, because it's an interesting choice. So do you want to introduce it?
Sure. Okay, so I'm not a big reader. So I have read like a few books over, you know, in recent years, but nothing that like has just stood out to me at all as like my favorite book or anything. So then I instead cast my mind back to what's like the book I've read the most over the years. And it turns out it's this book that was like my favorite book as a, like from like age 10 onwards kind of thing. And I was obsessed with it. I read the entire series, like I think 5 times over. And that book is called Flowers in the Attic.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't remember a lot about it. I remember like the vague storyline. So the other day, just to brush up, I went on Wikipedia and read the synopsis, and it's fucked.
It's so
and
fucked.
I am like, now I do remember all of the storylines and how fucked up it was. And why was I allowed to read that as a child? That's my main question to my mother.
Look, there's a lot of questions. I didn't know this book. I went and looked it
up. Okay, so had you never heard of it?
No, I had not heard of it.
I'm
kind of glad.
I mean, the problem is why you're a, you know, well person.
Well adjusted, yeah, yeah. Possibly.
Haven't heard of this fucked book.
I can't believe
it. And like, I think it's pretty famous. Like they've made a couple of movies about it. I think there was this TV series made, and like I think it's around. People know of Flowers in the Attic, but I don't know if people were like obsessed with it or anything like I was. So that's interesting. Okay, so you haven't heard of it. Have you heard of the author Virginia Andrews before?
No, so that's a...
Okay, yeah, interesting.
There's so many books.
Of course,
you know,
of course.
I can't...
I mean, not to me. There's like 5, but sure, to a well-read person.
There's so many. Yeah, exactly. I can't keep up. But look, it is... Yeah. That's why I didn't know anything about this, and reading the synopsis, look, it sounds salacious. Look, it sounds entertaining. Like, I get it.
It is entertaining. Mm. Yeah.
It's... Yes. Can you give a brief summary? I mean, we don't really care about spoilers on this show, but like,
okay,
can you just give a brief, whatever, how much you want to say about it?
Yes. So it's based around this family, and most of Virginia Andrews' books and series are all like family dramas, for dramas. So it's based around this family called the Dollengangers or Dollengangers. I guess I've never said that out loud before. I've only ever read it. And so it's like mum and dad and four kids, and then dad dies and mum is destitute. So she takes the kids to her estranged, very rich parents' mansion to like beg her parents for money. But then it turns out, it's so crazy. So then the mom like hides the kids in the attic away from the dying grandfather because she wants to like get back in his good graces before saying, hey, I've also got some kids. But then time goes on and the mom kind of stops visiting, and then the kids are just locked in this attic. Like they have secrets. They're not allowed to exist. The grandma comes and feeds them, but she's evil. And so then they basically just start trying to kill off the kids using like arsenic. And because then it turns out that the reason she's estranged from her parents is because her now late husband was actually her half uncle, and they got married knowing that they were related. And so then the dad like kicked her out, and he's like, you don't get any of my money if you've got any surviving grandchildren. So she's basically trying to kill the kids off. And it's from the perspective of Kathy, the oldest daughter. So that's just basically the premise. And then yeah. the whole book is there, like, I think like a few years span of them like being held prisoner in this attic. And kind of the most shocking thing of it is that the oldest daughter and the oldest son end up falling in love with each other and like have sex and stuff. They're both of age. Like, I think she's 16 and he's 17. So, I mean, it's set in like the 50s
fine.
Or whatever.
Yeah, so. Yeah, then it's totally
yeah,
fine.
So it's fine.
That's definitely the main issue that we're having.
That's what we should focus on, is the age of consent. So, yeah, and then the rest, so that's a big spoiler. Like, they get together, basically. One of the other little kids dies, and then they escape the attic, and the rest of the five-book series is them still, like, they got married to each other, and I think they have kids and stuff, and that's
oh, wow.
my favourite childhood book, apparently.
10 years old.
I think I'm pretty, yeah, I have vivid memories of reading it for the first time at my nan's house. And, yeah, I think I was around 10 or 11 years old.
At your nan's house as well?
Yeah. I mean, not that she made me read it, but that's just, I just remember that's where I was.
But, like, it sounds like she would have seen you reading it, you'd think. Or you would have been like, hey, Nan, can I borrow this?
Yeah, I think maybe I even borrowed it from her. I don't know. I think it was just weird back then. This is the 90s, man. Like, I think it was just.
You could do
like,
anything, yeah.
No one gave a shit. Just like, she's reading, good. That's, and she's out of my hair.
Your Nan sounds super chill. I like her already.
She was very chill. That's, very cool lady.
Yeah, that's her reading habits herself. And she's spreading onto you at that age. She's like, yeah, just go for it.
True. I mean, maybe I was like hiding it behind a Nancy Drew book or something. Who knows? But
so different. Like, you really upgraded very quickly. I don't know if you can go back to Nancy Drew after that.
Oh, child's play. Yuck.
Yeah. It's like, ugh.
Where's the incest?
Yes, I need that. I was going to say, just think of your porn categories. Like I said, it's very likely to be.
I mean, maybe it has informed my porn categories. We don't know.
I was going to say, it sounds like you're just ahead of the curve. Like the whole world's apparently gone that way. It sounds like you were just way ahead of him.
I was just.
You were just a pioneer.
20 years ahead.
Yeah, just 10 years old. Oh, dear.
But even like, so like even the porn, like Pornhub incesty channels are usually like stepbrother, stepsister, stepmom, stepson. Like this book goes full on. Like there's no like you can't reason your way out of it by saying there's no blood relation or anything. Mm. Like it is full on, full blood brother and sister hooking up. And that's like the love story. Like that's the romantic storyline in this book.
that's the weirdest part because like, you know, I'm Greek background. We are all about the incest stories, but usually the person gets punished at the end, you know, like there's
right.
some sort of punishment.
No, there is no punishment in this.
No.
They just have a lovely, happy life together.
Yeah, they go into it fully aware of what they're getting into and it all works out great. I mean,
I'm sure there's like the psychology behind it. You know, they've been kept prisoner, that they're the only people they've ever seen for the last like 4 years or something. Like they don't just jump straight into bed, you know, the minute they get upstairs, but it's over a long time and they kind of end up
they get to know each other first.
Like, yeah. really form like a strong friendship first.
Yeah, it's like, it's like so romantic, important. You know? It's not
so important.
Yeah, it's not just some fling, okay? It's
fling. It's like don't they, sully yeah. their experience.
Exactly. It's like, oh, how dare you? Oh, this is love, goddammit.
And so, yeah, so I'm sure there's psychology behind it of like, you know, like Stockholm syndrome, but with your other prisoners or whatever, like, and they moved there when they were like 14 and then they escaped when they're like 18. So it's like their, you know, height of their puberty and sexual awakening and shit. But the thing is like, this is like, it's not a psychological delve into this situation. This book is very much just like, it's like a drama thriller, like.
Yeah, yeah. It's just...
it's a really easy, quick read too. Like I was reading up about the author, Virginia Andrews, and like her whole thing was that she like, she loves that she writes stories that people can like can't put down and you can kind of get through them in a couple of days. It's like, because there's always something happening. Mm. And there fucking was always something happening in this book.
Sounds like it.
It's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So why do you think like you, do you, can you remember why? Why maybe it caught your attention?
Look, I have to believe that maybe I just didn't really get or understand or properly clock the incest part of it. And
you know, I have to believe like, that for myself.
I need that.
This has never felt more like therapy than right now.
That's my narrative that I'm applying. Okay. And you can't tell me otherwise.
I don't want to.
So yeah, like I just remember like it was very much because like I was reading it as, you know, a preteen and teen. And so it had sex scenes in it, you know, so that was like cool and naughty and horny for me as like a little kid. And then I just loved reading stuff that was just fucked up, like in general, like just, you know, that morbid curiosity. So like all the stuff around them being prisoner and being poisoned and the deceit and all that stuff, I fucking loved that. So I have to believe it was more about that than the incest. I have to.
Look, I like to think of it all just as a whole package, you know? So
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't get the locking up of the poison without the incest. That's part of the story. But
I've always said that.
So is that actually fed, like, have you found you gravitate towards that sort of stuff now, like all the way through? You've yeah. always had a thing
yeah.
for that?
Yeah, definitely. Because then I'm like, when I left school, I got really into like criminal psychology and stuff. And then I did like a degree in criminology and then a postgrad in forensic mental health. So like maybe that was like my first step into just really like being super interested in like people being fucked up, I guess.
Wow. Okay. That's yeah, actually, yeah.
That has carried through. I never did anything with those degrees professionally, of course, but.
I can't believe it's that related to what you studied. Like, that's hilarious.
Yeah. So like, yeah, the mom, like reading about the mom and why she went from being this like wonderful mother and then she was corrupted by the idea of a massive inheritance and money and she just like abandoned her children in the worst possible way because of that. Like that was always very interesting to me. Like how can people be so fucked up?
Like I guess it sounds like in this book, are they're broke, they've lost everything and they go to this family and get this inheritance thing? Is that how it works?
Yes, that's so the dad, it's set like ages ago, maybe not the 50s, but it was like she was a stay-at-home mum, so she didn't have a job or any qualifications. So once her husband died, she was destitute.
I don't know, it's hard to relate, isn't it, when if you lost everything, but then she gets greedy, that's the issue. She actually gets greedy and wants more than...
Yes. So when she finds out what the clause is for her getting this inheritance, which is that she can't have any descendants, like she stops visiting them. So she's like super neglectful. There's four kids. Kathy's like 16. I think Chris is like 17 aroundabouts. And then they've got two little twin brother and sister who are like 8. So then they kind of end up raising the younger kids and acting like mother and father to them, which is cool. And that's when they fall in love.
That'll do it.
That will do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's the mum just like starts to try and kill them by feeding them arsenic-covered donuts as a treat.
I mean, I love how much some parts of this do sound almost like, that's the weird part. Even when you were describing it before, it's parts of this sounded like almost a fairy tale. Up until you got to the messed up part, it's like, oh, yeah, the poor family right? go to the wicked stepmother.
Yes.
And it's like it sounds so fairy tale-esque and then just takes this really messed up.
Definitely. And she does that a lot. Oh, I will also say that, so Virginia Andrews, the author, this is her biggest series, is Flowers in the Attic. And then I think she did a couple of other big ones, and then she died. And then her family's, her estate hired a ghostwriter to continue writing for her under the name of VC Andrews. And then he has written like 20 other series, all very similar, all based around families that break up or are fucked up and you're very abusive. But I've read a lot of them and virtually every series has incest in them. I don't know
and
why.
And I've checked. I just keep going. It's like, does this one have incest? Does this one
Oh, there they are. There they are. So, yes, I think that's, I don't know why they decided that was the theme they wanted to carry on with her legacy, but they did. And there's lots of them. There's so fucking many of them.
And you've read them all, cover to cover.
Almost. I was going through the Wikipedia list like, oh, shit, I've read that one. I've read that one too. Like the whole series. There's like 5 and 6 books in each series. I mean, if, yeah, I will still recommend it. Like it's a good read. It's still really interesting. And
there's a big difference between the stuff you want to read about and what it says about you, like technically.
Right.
They're two very different things. So it's okay. I get it. It's like watching It's like watching You. Have you seen that You show?
Yes.
Yeah. So much fun.
Loved that show.
So much fun.
Yeah, see that kind of stuff. I love all that.
So I get that. Although, see, it felt weird watching that because I'm like, oh, man, he's some crazy book lover guy that I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to have to watch myself. Do you have a brother and sister? Any brothers and sisters?
I have a sister. Thank you for asking.
Look, I felt it was relevant.
I don't like where this line of questioning is going.
And do you ever look at your sister and think, I'll have that?
Can't say I have. I can definitively say that's never happened.
That's
Thank
good.
Goodness.
That's healthy. That's normal.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you have parents?
I do have parents.
Okay.
If I can just jump in, I haven't ever looked at them and thought, ha, oh, yeah.
No, not even like maybe some, you're in the attic rummaging around, you see some old box full of old photographs. You're like, ooh, who's
Mom,
this?
Can you lock me up here?
Yeah, he's like, ooh.
What if you just locked me up here for a bit, Mum?
Exactly. Find some photos of your dad. It's like he's a young hunk. You're like, oh, yeah?
I see where Virginia Andrews is going.
Yeah, I think I might write a story. I think I just found my muse. And he's wearing boardies. That's my muse.
He does fucking wear boardies.
Oh, no.
I'm going to read it again, I think. I've still got my original copy, so I think I'm going to give it another read.
From 10 years old?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I love when people have still got that copy from you staring off.
Wait, just give me 1 second. I'll go find it.
All right.
I know where it is.
Okay.
Okay, so this is it.
Okay.
This is my original copy.
Oh, wow.
It is well worn.
That spine is, it's hanging off. That is... A lot of people would be disgusted, but I love that. That is a well-loved book right there.
It is a very well-loved book. The compelling story of a family's betrayal and heartbreak, love and revenge, and then my own brackets and sexing each other.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's important to focus on the things you like about the story, I guess. But like, okay, so let's just tie it in with other stuff. So I haven't actually seen, so you do comedy. You've done stand-up now for several years. I haven't seen your stand-up myself, so you'll have to like enlighten me on this. Do you feel like you touch upon these kind of topics, like the darker sort of stuff, or is that different?
Yeah, I have like someone like once wrote like a little bio-y thing saying that I'm like a bubbly personality with it, but the material's a darker edge kind of thing. It's not dark as such, but I do like talking about like sex and dating and all that kind of like anything that's a little bit taboo, but it's not even taboo anymore.
I was going to say, if you're calling that dark... I'm worried about your sex and dating. Yeah.
Sure. We're not allowed to talk about it. Nothing. I've never had a bit about incest, I can't say.
Oh, no? So it doesn't... So, yeah, this is more just like what you like to do in your own time, but it doesn't feed into, I guess, your creative side of things.
Not so much, no.
It's funny how it's almost like an outlet, because that's the other side of this stuff. It could either be something you're relating to or it could be something that is just so outside of what you kind of experience. Because do you consider, this is probably a boring, potentially boring train of thought, but like pretty boring, regular sort of upbringing, you know?
Yeah, pretty boring.
Pretty boring.
So that could be what it was. Like it was pretty normal. I mean, obviously like with everyone's childhoods, like stuff happened and that informed or... for better or for worse, the way you kind of like ended up. But for the most part, yeah, very boring, very normal middle class kind of upbringing. So yeah, maybe I just started to really like to read and watch movies and stuff about fucked up stuff because that was like an outlet.
I can understand. Like, that's totally understandable. Yeah. It's one of those weird things about that kind of comfortable, more comfortable upbringing in a way. It's like, it's almost boring to discuss because it's like, what is that?
Right.
Yeah. It's like, I got no.
Sorry.
I'm just kind of well adjusted. So it's kind of like, what have I got? You know? I want to unpack what you just said there, though, because it sounds like you've talked about it before. That's the only reason, because I couldn't come up with it on the spot. But when you say like formative experiences that kind of have shaped you in a way, is there something that springs to mind when you say that?
No, like specific experiences, but just like, you know, like things that inform like the way you process and situations, I guess, without getting too specific. The way you see yourself in the world, like that's heavily, you know, influenced by your upbringing and just how you deal with anxiety or stress, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, there were some things there, I guess, but nothing that would be like, oh, okay, so that's why she likes these fucked up books or anything. She's relating.
Well, okay, so you like these books. Was this the kind of thing you shared with friends or was it just what you did on your own?
Actually, I asked my sister the other day if she, like, if she remembers the books, and she said she did, but she'd never read them. So I always thought that we both read them growing up, but I guess it was just me, the little weirdo. But I don't think I got friends to read them or anything. I think I was just a little weirdo in my room.
Kind of doing your own, having your own taste.
Yeah.
All right. Is that like, I guess, to go down that path a bit, is that something mostly you shared stuff or did you find yourself doing your own thing a lot of the time?
I was very insular. Yeah, I did like all my own stuff. Yeah, and still to this day, I love like being by myself. And if I socialize too much, I get really worn out like really quickly, that kind of thing. Growing up, like, I had a really like obsessive personality. Like if I liked something, I got really, really fucking into it. Most notably, I was a massive Michael Jackson fan growing up, like obsessed. And that's like for years all I would think about, all I would talk about and stuff. So I think with these books, like I was really into them, and that's probably why I like raced through the whole series over and over and over again. Because when I like something, that's all I'll like do for a long time.
Oh, really? Like that's kind of, you can just,
yeah,
everything else kind of fades away. You can just focus on the one thing for.
Yeah.
I've always been like slightly jealous of that because that is a superpower in a way, I've always found that ability. So how obsessed with Michael Jackson were you?
The Michael Jackson thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about that.
Yeah, it sounds hilarious. That's why I want to know.
Well, I have a Michael Jackson tattoo, thank you for asking, that I haven't yet started to remove, but that's probably going to be on the cards at some point in the future.
Okay, what is it, where is it, and how old were you when you got it?
It's just he's got like a symbol with the M and then goes into the J, and it's on my ankle. I got it when I was like 19.
That is.
I was aware of the scandal, but I was heavily in denial of it at that point.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So you just went and quietly showed solidarity by getting his symbol tattooed on you.
Let's just hope this doesn't ever come to fruition. And last year, guess what? It very much did.
Yeah, the world kind of switched gears with old MJ. Although
they were slowly switching gears for many years, but I think everyone was happy to kind of push that down.
I haven't seen the documentary that obviously made everyone change their minds, but I read some stuff countering it and all that, and I'm still on the fence about it, to be honest.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting. I haven't watched it. My kind of stance is, because I really was like a lifelong obsessive fan, like it was the most devastating, like in quotes, cancellation, I guess, that I've like encountered. But my kind of stance is like, I believe it, you know, believe victims. I 100% believe that this has happened. If that's what everyone's saying that happened, I believe it. I just can't bring myself to physically put it on my eyeballs and do that to my brain.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, I think, okay, look, I have not done enough research on this. So I almost want someone to come along and correct me on it. But like, to me, I heard someone say once, the one thing that's like incriminating a bit is the, and this is going to sound so bad because I'm not trying to defend it or anything, but like there was a lot of question marks around the delay when the person did it and the fact that there was money offered for the documentary. And then the fact that there's never been a single piece of evidence ever outside of what everyone has known for 10 years and like extra stuff came out. Like usually with these things, once a bit comes out, then a lot of other people come out of the woodwork. But in this case, that hasn't happened. So
Cosby style.
It's rare to see this kind of thing where actually the narrative that they had from the start has actually not been called into question. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like they haven't had it updated.
Yeah.
So that's a part which is... But I don't know enough
to
know. That's what I thought was interesting. So I was like, maybe in this case, maybe he was just, you know, crazy. in the loose use of the term.
I mean, he was definitely fucking crazy. Yeah, yeah. He was a crazy man, 100%, and not a well man whatsoever. But yeah, I think one day I'll end up watching it. I think I need to, but it's a slow
look,
process.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know enough, and it sounds like I could be way off. So anyone listening, if they get upset about this, please at me and tell me because I'm curious.
And me
but
too.
Be reasonable about it. Don't be angry and upset just because I haven't done the research either. Because that's the other side when people can get a bit angry about that sort of where someone doesn't understand an issue and they can sound like they're trying to troll them and be stubbornly refusing the truth. Because I actually found that recently, and this is going off on a very big tangent now. I just kind of want to shoot. This is a different kind of bookish to what we usually do.
Okay. But, what, incest and... famous pedophiles normally in the content of your podcast?
Yeah, no, okay. It's a lot of jokes. But like the idea of, well, you said the cancel thing about like getting that cancel idea. So okay, on that topic for a second actually, what is your attitude towards that sort of thing? Because like obviously, let's say on the hypothetical that he did do it, right, this stuff, does that mean you can't listen to his music anymore?
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been doing. And I should have done like a long time ago. But again, I was in willful denial for a really long time. But when that documentary came out and it really came like... Because like the last time everyone was talking about the Michael Jackson stuff was like probably when he died, which was like years and years and years ago, you know, like over 10 years ago. So I think that documentary was like the first time, especially in like the modern society of social media and everything and how everything has such a far reach now. That was like the first time of it like coming out in these days. So as soon as that happened and I was like, shit, yeah, there's too much, like I have to believe it, whether it is true or not, I don't know, but I have to believe it and act like it's true out of respect, I guess. So I have stopped listening to his music and stuff here and there. It might accidentally come up on shuffle, but...
Because I can understand, I guess, if it hurts you so much that someone's done that, you don't want to listen. It's coloured their music too much, if that's the issue that you kind of have. But, like, I mean, he's dead, so he's not getting any money from you listening to the music. So in that sense...
Yeah, that's an interesting thing too. That's something my brain has come up against as well, but who knows. But, like, I mean, with the cancellation thing, being a comedian, so many of my heroes have... and are being like cancelled. So that's probably been like a harder one to reconcile. Like Louis C.K. was a big one for me, like huge. And reconciling not being able to watch his stuff anymore was like, that was really hard.
And I guess that's where like I fall into, I guess a different sort of sitting with it. And I have almost a brain condition about not taking in context very well in general, which is maybe have some bad social situations in my life. So this is part of an issue that I have. But like, if you, as long as the guy's not getting money, or girl, I guess, whatever the situation is, although it's usually a guy.
heavily tipped in one favor.
Yeah, it's a heavily tipped. As long as they're not getting money for or getting support, and it's very much, the story is there, so you're not colouring the story by doing it, I don't see the point in that, unless it's literally a case where maybe because of, and this is definitely too deep for this podcast, but if there is a situation where you feel because of maybe a personal thing.
Yeah, like a personal experience or something.
Yeah, I can understand if that's the case, if that's got that kind of triggering impact. But because here's the thing, right? And here's my problem with it. I feel like we need to learn to separate the stuff out in a way, because like, you loved Michael Jackson, and let's say this stuff was kind of true, and then because of your love of Michael Jackson, not wanting to let go of, because he's got so many good tracks, you let him keep getting away with this. It's like, we got to make those two things separate, so you can still love the songs and hate, because that way it's actually better, because it'll mean you're not a bad person for liking the stuff and the guy being that. Right. You know what I mean? Like, as in, and if people have that issue, then that can kind of confuse that topic.
It's the whole, separate the art from the artist argument that I don't think we'll ever, like, the world won't ever come to an agreement about it.
No.
It was hard with Michael Jackson, though, because I did genuinely love him. Like, I was in love with him as well. Like, I wanted to marry him. And so that's learning what he is as a person, that was devastating. But with the Louis C.K. stuff, for me is more similar to what you mentioned earlier, is like, what he's done has affected his material to me now. Like, it's, I think it has for a lot of people. Like, what we used to think was him being like a champion for women and super self-aware, now when you watch it, knowing what he's been doing all these years, you're like, oh, it's just a bit gross now and a bit just not real, like a bit insincere. So that's a bit of a difference for me, I guess.
So I guess even, so that's another one which I find interesting, because like, you watch his stuff, right, Louis, or if you can remember it now, but like, the weird part was he was so brazen. He was never lying. He always said exactly what he was and what he did, but everyone just assumed that he was like being sarcastic.
Coming at it from a, like a self-aware, or like exaggerating, like, I'm the worst, I'm gross, I'm disgusting. And what I used to think was, no, you're not. The fact that you even think that about yourself just shows that you're so self-aware and you're amazing. King, go off. When in actuality, he was just confessing.
Yeah, he was just confessing the whole time. Like, that's what I think is funny. So that's what because like, I would have been like, again, me being having
issues.
He's saying it the whole time. He was literally saying the whole time, he's a piece of shit and this is what he does. And everyone's like cheering on. But then when it actually has like,
you're like, oh shit, I guess we should listen.
Yeah. Like, because I almost think like it's a part of, it's like, and I'm not defending him in terms of the reaction is appropriate, and especially by far his reaction to the news coming out. That's the part where he really was unacceptable, I think. Like, not that the other stuff wasn't unacceptable, but like, there was still space there for somewhere to come back from, and his reaction to it was, yes, that was tone deaf.
So out of the blue. Yeah, I was not expecting that at all.
He was in actually a golden position to have a huge glowing growth from it, but instead...
Even just one bit about it, you know, before, you know, 3 years later.
Yeah.
But nothing.
No. Well, actually, no, they did... So I'll be honest, it did. I didn't pay for it, but someone, when the new one came out, it was shared with me, and he does do a slight reference to it, and it's very smooth.
Yeah.
It's very smooth.
I have seen that.
Okay.
Bit. Yes,
right. Yeah,
I have.
It's very smooth.
But I mean, it's like, it's been years now, you know. I think what people were really like wishing and hoping that he would do is when he started gigging again, you know, when he started going back to the cellar and stuff, of like, is like, just do your amazing Louis C.K. self-awareness bits. Do one of those about what's happened. But instead, he just went back into normal shit and didn't address it until his next special, kind of thing.
Yeah,
so I think that's what people were really disappointed about.
You know, there's a special from like 2008 where he literally talks about showing a mentally disabled 11-year-old his penis when he's 10 years old, and the whole crowd is roaring with laughter.
I don't remember that.
And he's like, that's true. He's on stage saying it at Carnegie Hall.
The whole crowd's
live, and he's like, that's true. He's like, that's true. I did that when I was 10 years old.
They were like, no way. it's not, Louis, you rascal.
That's what I mean. It's so ridiculous how much he's literally, that's true, man. I did that.
I'd love to see a fucking like there'll be studies and shit into this like Me Too era, you know, in the future. I'd love to fucking read, you know, some kind of psychological breakdown of how he did that for so long.
I guess people just kind of let it, again, the part of me that finds it.
It's willful ignorance. And yeah. I think so. What happens. It's what I did about Michael Jackson for so long. And this book, apparently.
Well, I mean, this book doesn't sound like it's very much hiding anything. Actually, no, yeah. This book isn't hiding anything either. It turns out.
No, it told me exactly what it was and I forgot about it for years, apparently.
Yeah, and you just assumed it was fine, I guess?
Just a fun frolic in an attic. That's what I thought.
So I actually want to, because it's a comedy thing, I do want to ask a bit about that. Louise, was that the kind of inspiration, that's the kind of person you liked?
He was a big one. Yeah, he was. Yeah, big time.
Was that before have you always wanted to do comedy? Or did you kind of fall into it?
I've always been a comedy fan, like huge stand-up comedy fan, like early mentioned, like getting obsessive about things. So like through high school and stuff, I was like super obsessive about comedy, mainly like Australian stand-up and like traveling down to Melbourne to watch the gala and stuff. And just like because on free-to-air TV, it was mainly like the specials you'd see were the gala and the little, you know, showcases that various festivals would put on. So then I was just really obsessed with stand-up, but I just never knew that you could just like do it. I don't know what I thought. I thought that like people had to be like invited to do it, and I didn't know about open mics or anything. Like I didn't know there was a level beneath the people on television. Now I know there's about 50 levels beneath that.
There's so many levels, yeah.
So then I went to uni and just kind of fucked around. And then when I was 25, I started listening to podcasts. That's kind of when podcasts started to become really like starting to get mainstream-ish. And just listening to like comedians podcasts talking about open mics and stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. So just like you can just go. So I just Googled Sydney open mic and I went to one. And I just did like a handful of gigs, and then I moved overseas for a while and just kind of stopped doing it. And then when I came back when I was 27, that's when I properly got into it and moved to Sydney.
Oh, okay. Then, so that's when you actually moved to Sydney to do it.
Yeah, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
But it sounds like, considering you've described yourself as like this ultra obsessive personality, but then you just kind of did whatever and moved overseas and did whatever, it sounds like you didn't know what you were kind of, that doesn't sound like the most obsessive part of your life.
No, like obsessive, like not in like stuff that mattered or progressed my life in any way. Just obsessive about like anything that like pop culture that I was into. So yeah, Michael Jackson, comedy, that kind of stuff. But yeah, it took years before I learned that anyone can just go and do an open mic.
Yeah.
Just never clocked in my head.
It's pretty cool. Like it is fun.
Until podcasts came along. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got you got the one podcast now, right? Here on the Sans
Pants. I've got a podcast now too, fellow Sans Pants. It's the Ladies Guide to Dude Cinema that I host with my fellow comedian and best friend, Beck Charwood, and it's very fun.
Is that, and that's like you guys talking about the movies that guys recommend that you should watch?
Yes, so much fun. If anyone hasn't listened, please come over. We have a great time. We both realized a few years ago that neither of us are big movie buffs, and we've always felt so shamed for not being movie buffs and not seeing all these like iconic films and having the, you know, the bucket list of films that you like have to watch that at some point. And I, at that time, I was dating a guy whose favorite films was Lord of the Rings, and I'd never seen Lord of the Rings. And I could tell that he was disappointed when he learnt that information. So I was like just talking to Beck about it, and she's like, that happens to me all the time. And we're like, what is with this? And we were a bit tipsy, and then we were like, we should do a podcast about it. And then we did. So now we just watch, each episode is just us talking about one of these movies that dudes have always been like, you can't believe you haven't seen Die Hard, that kind of stuff.
I can't believe you haven't seen Die Hard.
Well, I have not seen Die Hard. We're saving that one. That's our big one. That's our like magnum opus or whatever that term is. Yeah, Die Hard.
Oh my.
We're saving that. I was like, how did she do it?
How did she? It's funny you mentioned Lord of the Rings because that's like one of my favorite bloody books series, mm-hmm. as well as movie thing before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you prefer the books or the movies?
The books, obviously. I'm obligated to say that. Okay. My favorite one is actually The Silmarillion, which is the background mythology of the Lord of the Rings universe. That's my favorite one.
Right, see, I've
of the books.
Heard about all this stuff. Wow, so you're a real nerd. You're a big Lord of the Rings nerd.
Yeah.
Like Yeah. You're deep in.
Oh, it's so deep.
Good for you.
So deep. I know the names of all the gods and stuff. It's bad. But
you
know.
All right, name them all. Now, go.
Okay, Manwe Iluvatar's the main god. He's the one who sung the song of making and brought into being the Valar. But yeah, we'll go into that later.
Of course. Yeah.
It's really beautiful. It's the only origin myth that involves song. But anyways.
That's nice.
Is this what your dates are like? These guys?
Yeah, pretty much. I know exactly how to talk in this conversation.
It sounded like you're like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Morella. You just say the things back to them a beat behind when they've said it, and then it sounds like you know what they're talking about.
Is that what?
Is it art?
Is that what guys are like?
Not all hashtag. Not all men. but
plenty.
Look, it's just overwhelming. Like we've also done. I've definitely been like we call it dude cinemaed, meaning you've been shamed for not saying something or like aggressively recommended something. No matter if you actually are the type of person to like that kind of movie or not.
So I love this.
What we kind of call dude cinemaing. So I have been dude cinemaed by women as well, you know, by all genders, but overwhelmingly it's mainly dudes who just feel so passionately about their favorite movies, and it's like a personal offense if you haven't seen their favorite movie or if you didn't like their favorite movie. We just kind of find that there's like just a lack of like awareness or taking into consideration yet if you're the kind of person who would enjoy Lord of the Rings, because I'm not a fantasy person. Like I've never been into fantasy films or anything. Like I really love stuff like thrillers and like stuff that's set in reality that like could happen.
It's like incest.
Like incest. Okay.
Fingers crossed.
There is a theme. Yeah, so definitely, if we've found that a lot of guys just get their blinders on and are just like, this is my favorite movie, you have to see it, you will love it.
I mean, I don't think I've ever done that, but then another part of me thinks I've probably definitely done that like every day. I'm not sure.
Sure.
Because I don't think I'm doing
probably.
It, but at the same time I probably sound.
That means you're doing it. It just means that they want you to enjoy something that they enjoy, but the vehicle of how it happens, the aggressiveness and the shaming, if you have it, like, yeah, that's what we're working on changing. But with this podcast, that's our
one podcast episode.
That's how we're changing the world. Yeah.
It's nice. It's a good goal, I think. since we're touching on all different parts of what you're doing at the moment, the other one I saw you doing, or you were doing, the Rove Saturday Night thing.
Oh yeah, Saturday Night Rove last year.
Last year.
The short-lived but very fun Saturday Night Rove.
How short-lived was that?
We were commissioned for like 6 episodes, and then they canned us after 2. But it was great fun. It was like if anyone didn't see it, which most people didn't see it, that's why it was cancelled.
How could it cancel after 2 episodes?
Look, I know it's a big scary world in the TV industry.
With that name attached to it, they literally canned it up. I just can't believe that.
And it was such a fun show too. Like it was kind of like Rove Live, but like reimagined for modern times. So we had like a lot more sketches and stuff, and we had, you know, an interview, and I was one of the writers and like cast members, and it was such a fucking great time. He's the best guy.
Oh yeah? You're not working for him now. You can be honest now.
I know. This is me being honest. How
so
crazy.
Boring.
He is exactly who you think he is, that personality. That's him.
That's beautiful. That sounds like a fun time as well. Were you writing scripts there? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. So it was me and a few others. We had Evan Williams, Alex Lee, Justin Hamilton. We're in the writing staff. And we were basically just writing sketches or writing like live segments that we were doing. It was just, I mean, again, we only went for 2 episodes, so we didn't fully get to properly sink our teeth in.
And establish even what you guys were doing each and stuff like that.
Yeah, and Chris Taylor was our, MVP. Chris Taylor was our head writer. He was great.
I can't believe that's 2 episodes is crazy short, to be honest.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. That was kind of like my first foray into television, probably. So it was a big learning curve.
You're just seeing how structure and all that stuff?
Yeah, just what what everyone does, the politics of it all. Very interesting.
Oh, that is, so there is a lot of politics all the way through?
Yeah. I mean, it's network television. Yeah. Lots of hierarchy and stuff.
All right.
Very interesting.
Really? It's so hard. Mm. I don't know if I can ever figure that stuff out. I'm very bad at that.
Me too.
My lack of context understanding, again, it really bites me in the ass sometimes.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. I guess the only other part I kind of want to touch on before I guess we sign off, we've gone all over the place. So I just want to go back to this just to see. You were talking about like, okay, do you still like stuff that no one else, that's kind of your thing? Do you still have like a little bit of something, you know, like just like these books when you were younger, you were looking into it, or maybe Michael Jackson, I don't know how much you shared that love with others. Is that something you've stopped doing as much now or just as much or?
Oh, I think it's weird because comedy was such a big focus and obsession, and now that's what I like am doing, that I kind of, I guess, haven't found another thing to become obsessed with. It's just more like that because it's actually so much of my life now. So I think it's, no, I haven't really branched out into any other weird obsessions as of late.
Like the other reason I'm asking is like a part of me just thinks of like how before you were showing how you hadn't found the thing you liked or you weren't doing the thing you liked, and now that you are, you don't have that outlet needed anymore. Do you know what I mean?
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so, because this was my outlet, so now it's part of it.
Mm.
But instead, yeah.
And again, maybe.
I never really thought about it.
I'm just throwing stuff out there. Seriously, just trying to see anything.
Sure.
See if it hits.
I love it.
We actually always ask this at the end of every episode. Do you feel like you've found any maybe new connections you didn't realize you had with the book?
Yeah, definitely just has reminded me that, yeah, I was into like just messed up psychological shit from a young age, just like fascinated by it. Not into it like I don't want to do the things, you know.
I didn't even say that, so.
Thank you. I could see in your eyeballs. I could see.
Okay.
It's just
a downside of Zoom.
Definitely. It's illuminated that I've just been into like messed up psychology shit for a long time. And in another, you know, alternate dimension timeline, I probably would have gone and like used my degrees and gone in to be like a criminal psychologist or something. But comedies, so much more fun.
That's true. And if anyone had been like, well, you're really into this incest stuff, you're like, hey, I've been into it since I was 10 years old. So
I am OG.
Oh, that's disturbing. Actually, I didn't even ask, did you, even though we are at the end totally, but was this, so you didn't share this, like, did your mum like this kind of stuff or your nana, or obviously she did, but you never talked about it?
I think this author must have been like big at the time or something. And she was, I remember, like, she died like around the time that I was born. And then I think she was one of those, like, her legacy, the books just became super popular after she died. And that's why they hired the ghostwriter to keep it going and stuff. So I think maybe around this time she was just really popular, and then my parents didn't decide like look any further into it than that.
Well, I mean, did they? Because maybe if you ever brought this up, because maybe like it turns out your mum or your nana.
I will. I mean, I already brought it up to my sister. Like, did you know what that book was about? So I'll definitely be hitting mum up with a few questions.
Yeah, she could be like, "Oh my god, I love this too. Yes, we can bond."
Not like that.
Not
though.
Like that. Not like that. Yeah. If it was your dad, it'd be like, okay, this has got grooming implications. I don't like this.
My dad doesn't read.
Okay, we're safe. It's in the good range. That's nice and safe. I don't know if that sounds potentially
very
better.
Safe. Yeah. The safe man. He's a safe man.
Like I said, we've gone off around a lot today, but thank you so much for being on the show, Alex. You've been so much fun.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This has been delightful.
True that. Thank you very much.
Thanks, George.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support this show and all the other shows we do here at Sans Pants Radio, then why not subscribe to SansPantsPlus.com? For as little as $5 a month, you could have access to a whole bunch of bonus shows and content. Once again, that's SansPantsPlus.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.